Welcome to AI Special Report. I'm Dan, your host who loves breaking down the latest tech developments for everyone to understand.
Hey everyone, I'm Skylar. I run an AI research lab at a major tech company, so I get to play with all the cutting-edge stuff before it hits the mainstream.
And I made a MIT-PhD-turned-serial entrepreneur. I've been in the AI space long enough to know what's hype and what's actually going to change the world.
Before we dive in, quick shout out to our sponsor, Limitless AI, helping companies seamlessly integrate AI into their existing workflows without the headache.
All right, let's jump into today's stories because we've got some wild stuff to cover, from invisible code attacks to fast food chatbots.
Our first story is honestly kind of terrifying. There's been a supply chain attack hitting GitHub and other repositories using invisible Unicode characters that humans literally cannot see.
Oh man, this is nightmare fuel for any developer. So basically, attackers are using Unicode characters that are completely invisible to embed malicious code into legitimate repositories.
The really insidious part is that these characters were largely abandoned by the programming community years ago because they served no real purpose. But now, attackers have found the perfect use case.
Can you explain how this actually works? Because I'm looking at my screen right now, wondering if there's invisible code everywhere.
So Unicode has these characters that were originally meant for things like text direction changes in languages like Arabic or Hebrew, but in code, they're just invisible spaces that compilers can still interpret.
Imagine you're reviewing a pull request and everything looks totally normal to your eyes, but there's actually hidden malicious code woven throughout using these invisible characters. It's like having a conversation where someone is whispering instructions to someone else that you can't hear.
That's absolutely wild. How are developers supposed to protect against something they literally cannot see?
Good news is that most modern IDEs and code review tools can be configured to highlight or flag these invisible characters. The bad news is that a lot of developers don't know to look for this.
This is why I always tell my teams that security has to be baked into the development process, not bolted on later. You need tools that automatically scan for this stuff because human review isn't enough anymore.
Are we seeing this attack in the wild, or is this more of a theoretical concern right now?
Unfortunately, it's very real. The article mentions it's already hitting GitHub and other major repositories. The scale is still being assessed, but it's significant enough that security researchers are calling it a major supply chain threat.
What's particularly scary is that this could have been happening for months or even years before anyone noticed. These invisible characters don't affect normal code execution, so infected repositories would function perfectly normally.
So essentially, we've all been trusting our eyes to review code, but our eyes are completely inadequate for this type of attack.
Exactly. And it highlights a broader problem in software development where we assume that what we see is what we get. But Unicode is incredibly complex, and there are thousands of characters that can look identical or be completely invisible.
This is going to force a lot of organizations to update their security policies and tooling. I expect we'll see a rush to deploy better Unicode analysis in code review workflows.
Any advice for developers listening who are probably now paranoid about every repository they've ever cloned?
Start by configuring your editor to show all whitespace and Unicode characters. Most modern editors have this capability, but it's often turned off by default.
And honestly, this is yet another argument for automated security scanning in your CI/CD pipeline. Human review is important, but it's not sufficient for catching these sophisticated attacks.
Speaking of people leaving, let's move to our second story. Kevin Weil, who was leading AI science applications at OpenAI, is departing the company.
This one caught my attention because Weil isn't just any executive. He was the former VP at Instagram and has a really strong track record in scaling consumer products.
What's interesting is that OpenAI is folding the AI science application he was leading back into Codex. That suggests they might be consolidating their efforts rather than this being a major strategic pivot.
For those who might not be familiar, can you explain what AI science applications are and why this departure might matter?
AI science applications are basically tools that help researchers and scientists use AI to accelerate discovery. Think automated hypothesis generation, data analysis, or even helping design experiments.
It's one of the most promising areas for AI impact because scientific research has so many repetitive, data-intensive tasks that AI can handle. Kevin's team was probably working on making GPT models more useful for actual research workflows.
So is this departure a sign of trouble at OpenAI or just normal executive turnover?
Hard to say definitively, but OpenAI has had quite a bit of leadership churn lately. When you're moving as fast as they are and dealing with that much pressure, some turnover is inevitable.
Plus, being an executive at OpenAI right now must be incredibly intense. You're essentially helping to build technology that could reshape society while also trying to run a business and manage investor expectations.
The timing is interesting too. Given all the recent discussions about AI safety and the pace of development, could this be related to internal disagreements about direction?
That's pure speculation, but it wouldn't surprise me. There are legitimate debates happening within these companies about how fast to push forward versus how much time to spend on safety research.
And folding his team back into Codex could signal that they want to focus more on developer tools rather than specialized scientific applications. Codex has been a huge success for them.
From a business perspective, developer tools probably have a clearer path to monetization than research tools.
Exactly. Developers will pay for tools that make them more productive every day. Scientists and researchers often have much tighter budgets and longer decision-making processes.
Though I do think they're missing an opportunity if they scale back too much on the science applications. The potential impact in fields like drug discovery or climate research is enormous.
Any predictions on where Kevin Weil lands next? He's got quite the resume.
My guess is either another AI startup or maybe back to a more traditional tech company that's trying to integrate AI. His product experience combined with AI knowledge is pretty valuable right now.
Or he could start his own company focused on AI for science. There's definitely venture capital interest in that space, and he'd have the credibility to attract top talent.
We'll definitely be watching to see what he does next. Now, let's talk about our final story, which is honestly pretty amusing. Dairy Queen is putting AI chatbots in their drive-thrus.
I have to admit, when I first saw this headline, I laughed. But then I realized this is actually a pretty smart application of current AI technology.
It's a great example of finding the right problem for the technology you have, rather than trying to force advanced AI into places where it doesn't belong.
Walk me through how this would actually work. Are we talking about customers having full conversations with an AI or something more limited?
Based on what I've seen from similar deployments, it's probably using speech recognition to convert your order to text, then using a language model to understand what you want and ask clarifying questions.
The key is that fast food orders are actually pretty constrained. You're dealing with a limited menu, standard modifications, and well-understood customer patterns. It's not like the AI needs to discuss philosophy.
The article mentions it's supposed to help speed up drive-through service and encourage customers to add more items to their orders. That second part sounds a little ominous.
Huh, yeah. Imagine an AI that's specifically trained to upsell you. Would you like to add a blizzard to your order? Our models indicate customers who order what you just ordered have a 73% likelihood of enjoying our Oreo blizzard.
From a business perspective, this makes total sense, though. Drive-through labor costs are significant. And if you can handle the routine orders with AI, your human staff can focus on more complex situations or food preparation.
I'm curious about the customer experience, though. Are people actually going to be comfortable ordering from an AI?
I think it depends on execution. If it works smoothly and sounds natural, people might not even realize they're talking to AI. But if it's clunky or keeps misunderstanding orders, it'll be frustrating.
The really interesting part is the data collection opportunity. Every conversation is training data that can help improve the system and provide insights about customer preferences and behavior.
That's a good point. They're essentially getting paid to collect training data for their AI system.
And once they get it working well at Dairy Queen, the same technology could probably be adapted for other restaurant chains pretty easily. This could be the beginning of AI drive-thrus becoming standard.
I'm actually more optimistic about this than some other AI applications we've seen. The stakes are relatively low, the problem is well-defined, and the technology is mature enough to handle it.
Any concerns about job displacement? Drive-through workers are often entry-level positions for young people.
It's a legitimate concern, but I think the reality is more nuanced. These restaurants still need people to prepare food, handle complex orders, and manage the operation. It might change the nature of the jobs more than eliminate them entirely.
Plus, if it really does speed up service, that could mean higher volume and potentially more jobs overall. Though I admit that's somewhat speculative.
I have to ask, are either of you planning to visit a Dairy Queen drive-thru just to test out their AI?
Oh, absolutely. I'm definitely going to try to confuse it and see how it handles edge cases. It's research, I swear.
I'm more interested in seeing how quickly it adapts to my ordering patterns. Will it remember that I always ask for extra hot fudge?
Well, that wraps up another episode of AI Special Report. Thanks again to our sponsor, Limitless AI, for helping companies integrate AI into their workflows.
Don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast with anyone who wants to stay up to date on the latest AI developments.
And for more details on all the stories we discussed today, check the show notes for links to the original articles.
Until next time, keep building and stay curious about where this technology is taking us.
See you next week.